Hello, welcome to Spirit, Arts, and Herbs, and Blessed Be. I'm Kim, ordained State of Ohio licensed minister, second degree witch priestess of Cabot Kent Hermetic Order of Salem, Massachusetts, elder Tribe of the Crow, Clan Boscedenham of Australia and Cornwall, England, degreed in social work, herbalist, and a decades-long student of Northern European witchcraft, West African Vodun and Obi, and comparative spirituality and religions. For more information about Spirit Arts and Herbs located in Northeast Ohio, find links to our website, podcasts, videos, and social media in the description. This is an introduction and review of celebrating the January full wolf moon. In 2026, it's also a super moon, appearing extraordinarily large and bright between sunset and midnight on January 2nd, peaking around 5:03 a.m. on the 3rd. And ending on January 5th. To understand ourselves, as always, our evolution and modern-day practices and beliefs, it is so very important to understand history. So tonight, let's have a look at the associations with and celebration of the Wolf Moon Espot. The wolf moon is aptly named for the increasing howling of wolves during this time of winter. In 2026, bright Jupiter will also be visible nearby the moon. This year's wolf moon will be a spectacular supermoon, which means it's closer than usual to Earth. This usually happens only a couple or few times a year. It's also aligning with the quadranted meteor shower, but which will probably unfortunately be difficult to see because of the moon's brightness right now. The meteor shower is expected to reach its peak between 4 and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. With the best viewing between midnight and dawn on Sunday. So, for best viewing of the moon, Jupiter, and the meteor shower, ideally watch from a dark place with a clear view of the horizon that's unobscured by artificial light. So this is kind of interesting. Why do wolves howl at the moon in January? Technically, wolves aren't necessarily howling at the moon. At this time of harsh winter conditions, food and prey are far more difficult for the wolves to find. So the hungry wolves then howl more greatly than other times of the year in order to locate other pack members, define their territory, and coordinate hunts, which is, of course, critical for their survival. It also helps to build excitement of the pack before their hunt. With limited resources, their howling is also a means of warning away other packs, and is far more noticeable in January because the wolves venture closer to human-inhabited areas in search of food. The bright light of the full moon, especially a supermoon, as it is this year, also helps with their hunting and influences more activity. And as descendants of the wolf, our pet dogs may often also display heightened activity at this time, becoming more vocal and assertive. We should try then not to react unfavorably to their rambunctiousness, as they're simply following their instincts of the hunt. Rather, it's probably best to make sure that they have plenty of food, maybe even a special treat of something that makes them feel satiated and comfortable, like some bits of pumpkin or whatever they like. On the contrary, our pet cats may spend more time in their hiding spots. But don't worry, they're probably not depressed, and just likely just reacting to their survival instincts. The dogs are on the hunt and the cats are hiding. Leave them be. Give them some comfort if they seek it from you. My cat, that you can maybe hear in the background playing with her squeaky mouse, I will wrap even in just like a bath towel, or she has her own special little blankets, and wrap her up like a swaddle baby and cover her face, and she goes right out. So anyway, during the wolf moon, birds might even become agitated and disoriented. Now, this may be a little controversial. Are more people arrested or admitted to the hospital during a full moon? Well, there isn't any scientific evidence, or at least none that I can find, that proves more people are arrested or admitted to the hospital during a full moon. However, in the early days of my own career, I did work as a social service assistant in a county jail that also had a maximum security section. There were indeed noticeably far more arrests, at least that I saw, during the full moon, especially during a supermoon. The behavior of the existing inmates became noticeably more restless, and the behaviors of those arrested were noticeably much more erratic. I have so many examples, but I won't get into all of that. I spent about a year or so as a social work intern at the local hospital when I was studying for my bachelor's in social work degree. And there again was noticeably an increase in admissions, often a lot of people that had just been arrested and were handcuffed to bed and displaying unsettled behavior. I've seen some pretty wild shit during the full moons in my days, but that's just me. Listen though, I am very much a fan of scientific evidence, but I saw what I saw. If you ask literally any officer of the law or a hospital worker, I am sure that most of them would confirm the same experiences. I've talked to so many and they say the same thing. Remember, humans are animals too. And some also still have the the instinctive desire to be wild and hunt and act up at certain times, and it seems to be noticeable during the full moon. Food for thought. So, what does the wolf moon mean? What does it represent? What's it all about? The wolf moon represents new beginnings, transformation, and the hunt. It is the embodiment of hungriness, resilience, and relentless survival. Having faith, digging deep, and dredging out from your very core your own instincts and power to overcome adversity. Also, embracing humility, letting go of thinking that you can survive on your own, and calling out a loud voice, a loud inner voice, maybe even outward voice, for help from your pack. It's okay. And if you don't have one, call for one. Acknowledging that none of us is entirely alone. And we do. Humans are pack animals, and we do need a tribe to survive. Some of us, myself included, tend to be very independent, but you do sometimes need your tribe. Some more often than others, but you need that support. Even when we feel alone, there are others out there, whether you've met them yet or not, that are calling for you. So understanding that our given path thus far, no matter how challenging were presented to us, at least I believe, were presented to us for a reason. We had something to learn from our adversity and hunger. Whether that hunger was physical and or spiritual and or emotional, and perhaps we still do. But now is a really good time to embrace your own strength and howl loudly for your chosen pack. This is the time to not only imagine, but know that you embody the power, strength, and endurance of the wolf. Draw now upon the wolf's spirit of unrelenting cooperation, teamwork, unity, and power of the pack, to visualize how you will grow your own power. Now, about Fenrir, the wolf god, and other mystical wolves. Fenrir is a monstrous primary giant Old Norse wolf god known as He Who Dwells in the Marshes. He's the son of Loki. Most of us have heard of Loki, the trickster god, and Angerbotha, the giantess. The wolf Fenrir grew so powerful that even the gods feared him. They knew that his strength would only continue to grow, and that he would eventually be a threat to all of creation. So the gods decided that they needed to bind him. They tried to trick him with a series of chains, each one stronger than the last, but Fenrir easily broke them. Finally, the gods turned to a blacksmith of their realm to create a chain made from six impossible things. The sound of a cat's footfall, the roots of a mountain, the breath of a fish, the sinews of a bear, the spit of a bird, and the beard of a woman. Fenrir was wary of this supposed unbreakable chain, but he agreed that he would allow himself to be bound if even one of the gods would put their hand in his mouth as a sign of good faith. Now, only Tyr, the god of war, was willing to make this sacrifice. But then, now, Fenrir thought he'd still be able to break this chain, but when he realized that he couldn't break free, he howled with rage and bit Tyr's hand off. From that day on, Fenrir was bound to a rock with this unbreakable chain, and is to remain there until, which the prophecy predicts, he breaks free at the end of the world, Ragnarok, and at which time he'll wreak havoc on Earth, kill Odin, and then later be slain by Odin's son, Vidar. Fenrir is also the father of the two wolves that chase the sun and the moon during Ragnarok. And interestingly, in addition to Odin's two ravens, oddly, he is destined to be killed by this great warrior wolf, but his other loyal companions were two wolves. Some other gods and goddesses that are personifications or represent the wolf or had wolves as companions are Artemis, Ceridwen, Leto, Lupa, Romulus, Remus, Brigide, and Mars. So now here's a really nice historical rite or ceremony that has been performed for centuries, the blessing of the animals. Ancient people considered animals as well as trees, plants, rocks to have intelligence of their own. They knew that they could communicate, reason, and do have feelings. This developed into reverence, and the gods and goddesses were given characteristics, traits, and virtues of various animal powers and abilities. As we just discussed about the god Fenrir as the wolf. Animals are accorded a special blessing during the blessing of the animals by the elder witch high priestess of the villages. They're brought together to be blessed with health, safety, and sometimes fertility. This rite usually takes place on or around January 4th. Christianity has even adopted this festival celebration of animals into the day that Saint Francis, the patron saint of animals, would offer a blessing. It's actually still now, maybe not today, but has been for quite a long time, performed every year by the Pope. This ritual is still done in many cultures, especially within Wicca around the world, as we praise all things in life. The blessing involves laying the right hand upon the forehead and over the eyes of the animal, reciting, if for a fertility and purification blessing, strong and noble, willing beast, welcome to our blessing feast. Gratefully, we give love and thanks to thee with blessings, good health, and fertility. The animal is then sprinkled with infused blessed water and scents with health and fertility incense. For, if not for fertility, but for safety and a safety and purification blessing, is recited strong and noble, willing beast, welcome to our blessing feast. Gratefully, we give love and thanks to thee with blessings, good health, and safety. Again, they're sprinkled with the infused blessed water and scented with health and safety incense. Lovely. So now just a few wolf moon Asmat activities and celebratory things. Typically, most witches don't necessarily perform a formal ritual during full moon Asmats. Generally, this is more of a time for communing and festivities and just a small honoring of the moon and her spirit. So maybe decorate your altar with some symbols of the wolf, images, drawings, statues, etc. If you use any kind of teeth, bones, claws, then of course ethically sourced. This is a time of both giving and receiving. Remember, call your pack. So use both white and black candles. You might also light an incense that brings personal power and power in groups. A couple suggestions for herb offerings are marjoram and basil. Offer flowers like crocus and snowdrop, and maybe use crystals like hematite, ruby, selenite, moonstone, garnet, jet, onyx, and obsidian. Take your candles outside. Draw upon the power of the moonlight. Close your eyes and take a few deep breaths of the cold air. Raise your arms and imagine yourself, or actually even howl at the moon. Why not? Letting go of your fears and inhibitions, giving in to your hunger and your drive for survival. Look up upon the bright moon and ask her to gift you her power. Also, look upon the flickering flames of your candles, candle or candles, and spend some time meditating on your intentions. Do this each of the 3 nights of the full wolf moon. And aside from these minimal ritual activities, spend some time with your friends, your loved ones, your coven, cooking, baking, doing crafts, and just enjoying time with each other. And with that, I wish you the most blessed hunger and power of the wolf. And I thank you for joining me on this mystical and magical journey. Don't forget to like this episode and follow us by clicking the buttons. Find our website with articles, workshops, events, and shopping at https://spiritartsandherbsherbs.com. On our website, you can find and buy hundreds of high-quality herbs, crystals, gemstones, intention and ritual candles, incenses, and more. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, X, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Find our podcasts on Patreon, Casto, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Amazon Podcast, and iHeartRadio. Links are in the description. Share this with even one friend. Your support means the world and helps us keep providing content that we know you love and we love so much. So until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry we meet again. Blessed be, friends.